Some research has been done to identify the safest seats on an aeroplane. Are you listening to this, everybody? Because let's be honest, it's getting a bit ripe out there. One of these things could fall out of the sky at any minute. There's been a few turned around, engines falling off, there's livestock running around the cabin. Who knows? Firstly, pick the right airline too. I was on an Air Garuda flight once, and when it landed, we all clapped. Oh. That's not a great sign, is it? When you're actual thankful. A friend of mine, this is back when you could smoke on an aeroplane, he was on a Garuda flight from, I think, Malaysia to Bali. And about halfway in, they turned the plane around and they said, we've got to return the plane. Don't worry, everything's fine. We're getting another plane. So what he did is he put his cigarette butt in the ashtray on his armrest. And when he came back, he said, is this a new plane? They go, yeah. He opened up his ashtray and his big cigarette butt was in it. I said to my old man once, who's flown for a lot of airlines, and I said, what do you ever fly? He goes, Air Garuda and Aeroflot. Which was the old Russian one. He reckons jalopy was a word he used, I think. But look at this. So the findings of Time magazine investigation examined 35 years of data. And I've said that the back third of the plane, the cheap seats, is the safest. 32% fatality rate as opposed to the ones up the front. They're the worst. I think the pilot's cooked. Here's their back third is the safest. I still, you know, look, to me, as long as your seat's in the upright position and the meal tray's tucked away, I can't see how.
And your head's tucked in your knees, yeah.
And your seatbelt's on. I mean, what kind of fiery inferno could get you? you're way out in front. Let's not overreact. Let's go to cinemas. Now, this is a bold plan. Cinemas are thinking of charging more for prime cinema seats. So, you know, it's same price. You walk in, seat yourself. No, they're going to have pricing for those ones that are at the front or the sides or ones that have a better line of sight. So basically, when you walk into a cinema now, this is a new chain in America that's introducing this, there's basically going to be a hierarchy. There'll be like a members section, an outer standing room, a VIP section, probably monitored by a bouncer. I don't get it. Or a couch section. You know what I wouldn't mind? Seat fillers. You know, for a shit film or a chick flick, you can just get it in. I don't know. Where do you guys like to sit when it comes to watching a film?
Well, first of all, get me back to the plane. I mean, come on.
Sure.
Is there any such data as a safe seat in a plane? I don't think so. If it's going down, you're gone, no matter where you're sitting. And I don't like talking about this when I'm about to jump on a plane on Friday to go to Perth either, because it seems to be that I'm a bad flyer and I don't like data coming out suggesting that, for the record.
And by the way, I've got a really bad feeling about that flight.
Oh,
oh Mick, you're a buffhead. You know what? It's nothing that a couple of vodkas won't help.
You'll be right. Just try and break Booty's record. And you'll be happy. Get him to drive it along the Nullarbor. Don't even take off.
That's what I reckon.
And still get there pretty quick, I reckon.
I'm with you.
You'll be right. You don't like to fly. Where do you sit in a cinema, MG?
Usually on the edges, on the fringes. There's, you know, them seats that have maybe three or four seats on the wings. I like there because they're less populated, and you got less chance of what I did once when I was at the cinema with my daughter. There was four people in the cinemas, and it was me, my daughter, my mate, and two other people about 10 metres away. So I've put my feet up on the seat.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this bloke said from nowhere, "Hey, get your stinky feet away from me." I went, "I beg your pardon?"
He's a brave man.
And we're watching Tintin. I remember vividly. My daughter was three, and she still talks about it. She says, "Dad, remember that time you put your feet up on the seat and that bloke?" I said, "Do you remember?" She goes, "Yep, I never want to watch Tintin again in my life."
Looking for James. He's got it. Coming to the end of the third quarter. LeBron James, a shot at history. And it goes in! LeBron stands! gives to LeBron James.
On a step back against very good defense here, made him earn it.
LeBron, you are the NBA's all-time scoring leader. Congratulations.
LeBron James.
To be able to be in the presence of such a legend and great as Kareem, it means so much to me. It's very humbling. Please give a standing ovation to the captain, please. To my beautiful wife, my daughter, my two boys, my friends, my boys, my family, my mother, and everybody that's ever been a part of this run with me the last 20 years, 20 plus years. I just want to say I thank you so much, because I wouldn't be me without y'all. All y'all help, all y'all passion, all y'all sacrifices helped me get to this point. I would never, ever in a million years dreamt this even better than what it is tonight. So, man, thank you guys.
What a phenomenal effort yesterday from LeBron James, who chased down a 38-year record from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. 38,388 points was the record. He eclipsed that yesterday with a 38-point haul against OKC, and at 3:56 yesterday, all eyes were on it. So now I suppose, guys, the chat turns to the water cooler, chat turns to who is the GOAT of the NBA. And look, recency bias will tell you that LeBron has a lot of fans for those who are probably 30 and younger. I know all my kids love LeBron, but I still maintain that Michael Jordan changed the way that basketball was played. And all of a sudden, once Michael Jordan started playing above the ring, everyone started to play above the ring, and the endorsements that followed Michael Jordan, I think the players today appreciate exactly what he did for them. Jordan, 30.1 points a game, LeBron, 27.2. Championships, LeBron's won four, MJ's won six. And the points, I think the points haul yesterday gets LeBron closer, Mickey, but I still maintain that I think Michael Jordan is the GOAT of the NBA.
I'd like to put Phil Smythe into that conversation too.
He's
the GOAT when it comes to athletes with comb-overs. It's an interesting one, isn't it? You said it's broken down largely on age difference and who was supporting who. LeBron James, how old is he now?
Can I ask 38. You?
38. I think his goal is to keep playing until his son gets there so he can play basketball with his son. What an achievement that would be. He's still probably ranked in the top 8 to 10 players in the NBA. He's probably not in the conversation for the best anymore, but at age 38, he's still doing it. It's an incredible... I'm going to withhold my opinion because I don't know the game well enough, to be honest, yep. But I know you're firmly in the Michael Jordan camp, yes?
Yes, I am. Cat played very high level in college in America. What's your thoughts?
I'm LeBron, but I also generationally, I grew up playing at the same time as LeBron was coming through the NBA. And I just think with his fourth on the assists ladder as well, so he's a team player, along with all other elite point guards. And when MJ was playing, he was training like an elite sportsman. The rest were on the bags, on the whiskeys the night before the game. So LeBron is the athlete of the athletes. So to be that person right now, you have to be the GOAT. Because everyone's so athletic now.
Why don't we do this? Let's go around the sports and say, is there a GOAT for every particular sport that you can think of? And who is that? 1-3-3-5-3. Have you got any ideas that stand out to you, MG, straight off the bat?
Okay, let's go. I suppose ice hockey, you've got Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky, NFL, the great one.
You've got probably Tom Brady with NFL. You've got Serena Williams. Who's the GOAT in golf? Is it Jack Nicklaus or is it Tiger?
Is it the Golden Bear or Tiger Woods? I'm always going to say Tiger, but the stats don't lie, do they? Let's do this. Come on. Give us a call, 1-3-3-5-3, and we'll name the sport and name the GOAT. By the way, I think in terms of teams, you have to recognise the Harlem Globetrotters. They never once lost to the Washington Generals. I mean, that is a 100% record.
What a team.
They're under the radar, I tell you what. We've already gone through a few sports ourselves, but let's get into the listeners. Craig, what's the sport and who's the GOAT?
Well, you've got to be talking about the finest tuned athlete in the world. Phil Taylor, the Dart.
Oh,
16 times world champion. No one's near him.
16 times, you're dead right. We've had a lot of calls, mostly from people with accents like yours, suggesting that he is the greatest sportsman of all time. Craig, why isn't darts an Olympic sport?
Oh, I don't know. It should be. We might win a few more gold if it was.
You would indeed, Craig. Thanks for the call. Phil Taylor, head and shoulders above the rest in that caper. Anthony's on the line. Anthony, what's the sport and who's the GOAT?
Oh, cricket, and it's got to be the Don, mate.
Yeah.
It's got to be Don Bradman, doesn't it? It's
no
so
one's near him.
No one is near him. That record, what's his average? 99.96.
94, correct, weight.
And you know what, though? Here's what happened. He got out for a duck in his last innings. He let himself down. He let his country down. That's all I'm saying. The great Don Bradman, head and shoulders above the best. You know, you're in the vernacular when people say he was the Bradman of this or the Bradman
of that.
Yeah,
that's right. I mean,
that automatically stamps you as the best. Scott's on the line. Scott, who's the GOAT?
G'day, all. Cycling, Lance Armstrong.
Now you're trying to upset the locals, aren't you?
No, look, you wouldn't be hitting people on the side of the road with all those people riding their bikes if it wasn't for Lance Armstrong. Even to this day, his podcast is still listened and viewed by millions. People still love Lance Armstrong. It's only the left wing loonies that don't like Lance Armstrong.
Okay, Lance.
How about the fact that he's a synchronized cheat?
Do we want to go back?
No, I don't think we do.
Yeah.
Was he winding us up, or was he? Do you think he was genuine? Yeah,
that might have been Scott Armstrong. Yeah. Was that Scott last name Armstrong? It's his cousin.
Anthony is on the line. What's the sport and who's the GOAT, Anthony?
Yeah. Good morning, Mick. A toss-up between Roger Federer with tennis. Just apart from the 20 titles, I mean, he played in that great era, but he just did it with such touch and grace and all the rest of it. But
sure, I'd like to put Wally Masseur in there too.
Phil Dent, or the Mac.
But the other one is Walter Lindrum in billiards.
Yes, good one.
Dominated.
He was unbelievable. You never see him do a lap around the table with his pants around his ankles. He was the Bradman of billiards, as they say. He genuinely lost it. Let's go past.
I've got one for you, Mickey.
Yes, mate.
What about Heather Mackay in squash?
Absolutely. We don't talk about squash enough. We used to be world champions at squash in this country. We were far and away the best. I'd love to see us return to that. You're right. Very good. Paul's on the line. Sport and the GOAT, please.
Valentino Rossi, MotoGP.
Yes.
Absolutely. I cannot agree with you more strongly. He's been around for so long. And he has been successful for so long. When he changed teams, when he left Honda, and went to Yamaha, that is one of the greatest efforts of all time, and took him to a championship. Unbelievable. And you know what? Most of these guys, when they fall off a bike, are never the same again. If you ever look at all the greats, it dawns on them that, this is quite dangerous. The fact that he was still up until last year riding a bike is incredible. I tell you what, let's go to Jed. From the gong, who's the GOAT? What's the sport?
Surfing, Kelly Slater.
Yes.
I think you might be right there. I think that's a clear tick. Not a lot of debate. Has been at his best for so long. And what a great sport to pick. If you've got to be the best at his sport, to me, it'd be golf or surfing because, put it this way. If you're 10-pin bowling, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. You're inside, you're on a lane, and you're 10-pin bowling. But if you're playing those sports, you can go to the most beautiful exotic locations anywhere in the world and play your craft. Well played. Both of you. Glenn's on the line. Glenn, sport and GOAT, please.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I think it's got to be our very own Stephen Bradbury for ice skating.
He deserves special recognition in the sport, whether it's GOAT or not, maybe. But thanks for your input, Glenn. Scotty, who are you thinking? What's the sport? Who's the athlete?
How you going, guys? I'd have to say it's the Winter Olympics ski jump legend, Eddie the Eagle.
Eddie the Eagle.
He, again, has etched his own place in sporting history, but we'll... hey, quick one. With a question without notice to you, MG. NRL, yes. Educate me. In your opinion, who is the GOAT?
NRL, I think Cameron Smith is the best player that I've ever seen. Andrew Johns is up there, Wally Lewis is up there, but I think the best I've ever seen, and for the longevity, a bit like LeBron, I suppose, he played so long, he's broken every record, and he'd done it with the body of an accountant. He didn't look like a rugby league player. So for mine, it's Cameron Smith is the rugby. What about AFL? Who's the best you've seen AFL?
Tony Lockett for me. But I also think Dusty, but I'm biased, of course. But I think Tony Lockett in my lifetime, seen with my own eyes, it would be Tony Lockett. But I tell you, I reckon you might have started a whole different talkback section on this show today because phones are lighting up everywhere. You've just thrown a hand grenade into the room, MG. Yes, all right. I will just finish this before we get there. Ross Sport, please.
MG, Mickey, Kat, morning.
Hello, yes, Roscoe. What's the sport?
We've got motorsport and we've got Larry Perkins.
Larry Perkins. No Peter Brock?
No, look, at the end of the day, Peter Brock never owned a team and ran one successfully. Larry Perkins also ran a race from last to first, and he also achieved a lot overseas and winning a lot of championships in Europe before he came back to Australia.
You've done your homework. Well done, Ross. Darren's on the line. Sport and GOAT, please.
How you going, guys? For me, definitely harsh racing. We got Winks. Winks.
We've seen McCabe
Diva, far lap. I think Winks is one of the best. I put it up there as the GOAT.
All right, and as you point out, MG McCabe Diva, of course. Let's go to Ben, the GOAT, please.
Oh, we got Leo Messi for football and Michael Schumacher for F1.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Schumacher, close. Then you'll get an argument there, but it's not as clear-cut as other sports. And Lionel Messi, well, they just buried a bloke called Pelé, who was pretty good too. We're going to talk woke stuff that's cancelled because there's an episode of Fawlty Towers that's been cancelled. They're going to reboot it. Good luck showing all the old stuff. Only in America, we're going to talk about State of the Union and gun laws. MG's going to talk about the GOAT, which sport, who's the guy. So much to get through, gender reveals, but let's start with the big one. Rich pampered, rich pampered animals. I am so conflicted because I am an animal lover, make no mistake. Nothing gives me greater joy in this world than a good pet. A good companion. It's true. And, I don't trust people who don't like dogs. It's as simple as that. If you don't like dogs, you're going to struggle to crack it with me. But I'm talking about these pampered, new age, foppish pets, mainly cats, maybe cats from the internet. I don't know what the relationship between cats and the internet is. Ever since that grumpy cat with a cat playing a piano, they were the first things. Do you remember the cat playing the piano?
The orange cat, yep.
Oh, my God. These were the first things to ever go viral on the internet. And we all go, oh, the internet's going to change the world. The internet's going to make it a better place. Yeah, let's watch a cat playing the piano. What a bunch of dicks. So Australia has its first influencer cat. It's now raking in a staggering amount of money, $63,000 last year. Has 160,000 Instagram followers and dresses up as a chef. MG, do you have any pets, MG?
Let me first be a little bit controversial here. Sure. I'm not a cat lover. I just don't like
You're
cats.
Not a cat lover. Well, I'm sorry. Let the hate mail commence.
I love dogs. I've had dogs all my life. We had cats when I was a young bloke. And one day I was walking to school and I saw my cat come out of a drain. And I thought, well, that's not real hygienic. If my cat's living in drains, I don't think I want to have it in my house. So hence, I've never had cats since. I've got nothing against people who have cats, but I'm not a cat lover. I'm not a cat lover. Sorry.
I'm not a lover of the pampered pets, to be honest, and this is one of them. Let's have a look at the other ones. So, other cats. There's a cat called Nala Cat that's worth $100 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 4.3 million Instagram followers, holds a Guinness Book of Records for most followers. Olivia Benson is the name of Taylor Swift's cat. Its net worth is $97 million. It's got its own website. And what about this, remember this one? Gunther the dog is worth Listen, Gunther is a German Shepherd, is worth $500 million. That's half $1 billion. He inherited a late German countess's multi-million dollar trust and has it all from mansions, private jets, and delicate meat and caviar. Man. Yeah, and apparently we'll only drink sparkling toilet water. And if you have to put a bucket on its head, insist it's a champagne bucket. And he'll only chase imported cars. You know what I mean? The good ones. It's not just going to...
If I'm a stray dog, I'm after Gunther. If I'm a stray dog out in the streets, where does Gunther live? Let's go to his house.
If you're a little gold digger, you'd let Gunther hump your leg. He can hump anyone's leg he wants. As for stops, you know, call me old-fashioned, but what happened to the days when dogs got a can of Pal and a squeaky toy? And that was it. You know, I look at these dog shows, and they're full of all these punsy dogs that are well-manicured and been to the hairdresser. I go, they're dogs.
They're dogs.
What about some events the dogs might enjoy, like, you know, riding in the back of a ute, licking your balls? I don't know. Dragging your ass around in circles on the ground. You know, biting a sprinkler. I mean, this is the stuff. Something for the dogs. I want to talk to people, if they want to give us a call, 133353, about pampered pets today, because this is too much. Wow. You know, hey, MG, I'll tell you this is a true story. I got a mate of mine. He's a vet. He has a Louis Vuitton dog basket.
Yeah.
For his dog. That dog, well, I don't want to put it down, but I'm just saying, it's not there. Do you know a pampered pet? Have you got one? Have you got a friend who goes to insane lengths? Give us a call, 133353. I'm over this. Gunther the dog is worth half $1 billion. Man, they're queuing up to sniff his bot.
Yeah. He's got a song.
What do you mean?
He's got a song, apparently.
I'll get Nick. That sounds like Ross.
When his owner wants to smack him on the nose with the rolled up newspaper, he has to use the Financial Times. That's how it goes. Hey, here's one for you. What about Lady Gaga's dogs? So remember someone tried to steal her dogs, and a dog walker got shot. The guy who walks her, she's got three, what are they, French bulldogs.
Yep.
Right, two of the stolen dogs were returned unharmed after Gargo offered $500,000 reward, yet nothing for the dog walker who got shot. You can shoot the dog walker. She stepped over his body and goes, God, I need my dogs back. I don't understand. It's Steve's on the line. Steve, you've got a spoiled pet, have you?
No, buddy, not me. But I short pissed off the owner of one.
Okay, how is it spoiled?
So we were walking. It was just walking our dog with the kids, and it was a fluffed up little little sort of Shih Tzu thing that looked like it had a perm. And a blow wave, and she swooped and picked up her dog because our dog went up to say hello, and she goes, oh, keep your big mutt away from my fur baby. And I said, how about I keep my dog and my skin dogs away as well? And she goes, what do you mean a skin dog? And I said, well, if you can call your pet a fur baby, then I can refer to my children as a skin dog. And her head just sort of almost twisted off, and she nearly exploded.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good chat we've just had with Steve. He refers to his kids as skin dogs. I've got twin skin dogs.
Hey, Lenny.
Great. Hey, Josh has joined us in the studio. Josh helps us out here on the technical side. Have you had a contact with a spoiled dog?
It's one of my good mates. So she has two French bulldogs, paid $6,000 for one of them and $10,000 for the other. And I don't know if you know, French bulldogs are known for having a lot of health problems, so breathing problems, leg problems, and they've spent over $100,000 on vet bills for these two dogs. And they're shocking dogs. Why would you want brother?
Okay. Call me old-fashioned, but whatever happened to doggy heaven? I mean, I don't know how many times my old man did the course of my childhood went, well, you might want to say goodbye to Max. he's off to doggy heaven. As a dog would sit in the back of a station wagon as it drove off to the local vet.
Well, even more brutal was my dad. One day I said, where's Pebbles? And he said, out there. And there was a bloody mound in the backyard. Like, Pebbles had perished while I was at
Thanks for the heads Pebbles, up, Dad.
Pebbles had perished while I was at school.
Where's Pebbles? He's under the Pebbles. Cat, did you have an encounter?
Oh, I had to puppy sit a sausage dog that had quite a social media profile. And I got given strict instructions over the weekend of posting photos, and it needed to be at the certain times of the day where it got the most traffic. And one I posted of it really cute on its back, and she called me from her holiday and said, that's not a great angle for Pickles. Wow. Can you please take that down?
Wow.
And you said, go F yourself.
I certainly did.
Tick-tack, tick-tack. Checking the latest online. It's Mick Talk.
Can we take that phone out of the intro? Over to, I panic. I panic. Phones on. I'm on air. What are we doing today? What's trending? I'll tell you what's trending. Bluey's trending.
Yes.
The classic Australian animated series. There it is. That's a good ringtone or something, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
So I've been on it, of course. One of the voices of Bluey. See ya, Chippy.
Oh, is Chocolate Milk, Chippy, not going with you?
Nah, he's got a lift. Yep, there I am, bringing it, De Niro style.
How many takes did that take you?
Mate, it doesn't matter how many takes, MG. How many? It's 22. You try and get inside the head of an animated dog playing a tradie. It's not as easy as you think. By the way, still the only character on that series ever to be animated with ass crack.
Oh, I love it.
And it's unbelievable. I should sue them. That was a good episode of Bluey. Apart from the end where Bluey got put down. I thought that was a bit much. Hey, listen to this. But this is, the Americans now are all confused by Bluey. They love this series, by the way. They've taken it in. You know when they have that Macy's Day Parade and they have the big balloons?
Yep.
And then they, once you've made that, you have been canonized. You are absolutely big time. Actually, that'd be a good spy balloon, wouldn't it?
One of the balloons
from the Macy's Day Parade. Is that Bluey? Is a giant Bluey spying on us? Let's get to it. Australian cartoon Bluey is one of the country's most successful shows. Blah, blah, we know that.
Yeah.
But some details are apparently lost in translation for American viewers, and they're referring to a particular scene where an object is sighted in the background, and they've been trying to work out what the hell the object is. Is it a bottle of wine? They wonder. It turns out it's a friggin' cricket bat, you dicks.
Of course it is.
To my eye, it's a cricket bat, and it's nothing else but these idiots over there who are so xenophobic and wouldn't know anything that happens outside their own country are thinking it's some kind of sinister message. It's probably from QAnon. It's a QAnon Bluey message. I don't know. Hey, Yanks, it's a cricket bat.
That is. Jeez.
All right.
Nothing else. No wine bottles. Come on. It's Bluey.
Can you play the theme again?
Sure.
Thank you. That's the stuff. I want to talk about Fawlty Towers for just a minute and the news that John Cleese is going to revive the series. This is probably the most iconic sitcom of all time. I think they only made 8 episodes, but you know every one of them. You've recited lines from them. John Cleese, of course, played Basil Fawlty. He'll be returning to write and star Wow. Alongside his daughter, Camilla Cleese. She just has a whiff of the Godfather 3 about it. The classic show ran in 75 and 79. It's iconic, and it's a reboot, which worries me. Reboots are always tough. Remember they did the and by the Americans too. The Americans tried to do a reboot of Absolutely Fabulous, Ab Fab.
Yeah.
And then when they saw it, they said, we want you to do it, but we want you to cut out all the drug and sex references.
Okay. We had no show.
That's the show. That is the show, you idiots. So I'm worried about what a reboot might be. The first episode will be all about hotel getting shut down when the union rocks up to complain about Manuel's mistreatment.
Mr. Faulty, Mr. Faulty. Yeah.
Hotel will be empty thanks to Airbnb. It'll be flooded with bad reviews from Google. I mean, how many of shows from this era, and by the way, I want to point out that famously there was an episode canned by either TV4, I think it was, The Germans, which is one of the most popular episodes, has been banned and was taken off their list because... basically, it was considered no longer PC. It was offensive on racial lines. And the episode was The Germans. Do we have a clip?
Listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right.
Don't mention the war is... people use that phrase now as part of the vernacular. You worry about other shows. Happy Days, like that, Fonzie would be locked up today.
He would be.
for being an adult hanging out with school kids. He's the original toolie. By today's standards, Fonzie is a toolie. Yep. Hogan's Heroes, you mentioned, that might struggle. Not sure a light-hearted, affable Nazis would go down that well these days. Hey, sitcom set in a concentration camp. Brilliant. Whoever thought of that? I Dream
of
Jeannie.
Love Thy Neighbour. Love Thy Neighbour.
Love Thy Neighbour. Well... it's kind of in a different camp. They Dream of Jeannie. I Dream of Jeannie. That was that'd be hashtag me too. Keeping a woman in a bottle
and giving you wishes
and making her do stuff for you all day long. But let's talk about Fawlty Towers and the cancelling of that episode and how the woke brigade can get in here and cancel stuff that we have loved or do love. And it started there with Fawlty Towers. I can think of others. We had this conversation the other day when we were talking about what's Tom Jones. Delilah is no longer allowed to be sung by the crowd at games of rugby union because the following lyrics are deemed offensive. Okay, could be a reference to domestic violence. Can we just adapt the lyric? If it's that offensive, I mean, the guy played at the AFL Grand Final in front of a family crowd prior to. I don't think the people throwing their underpants at his gigs really care about the lyric. They love the song. Can we make it happen? There's so many examples of this. The Rolling Stones aren't allowed to do Brown Sugar anymore because of offensive lyrics. Can you take out the offensive lyrics but allow them to play it in concert? Have we got the lyric there, Kat?
We do. There it is right there.
It's a reference to slavery. If people, and in the times that have changed, it's unacceptable. Can we just change the lyric, not... Tinker. Kick the song out. Tash, have you got anything on this front that's offended you or that you think that the woke brigade have got to?
Well, Flying High is one of my favourite movies.
It's a great film.
You've got to have a very demented sense of humour to enjoy it, brilliant. Which I do. It's brilliant on every level, but now I watch it and I think, oh my gosh, I don't know whether that would be acceptable today. It wouldn't.
Especially with Norbert.
Well, I...
Sniffing glue?
Yeah, but it's comedy. I think, comedy, by the way, does not age well in the woke category.
No.
You go back and have a look at anything from the very start. Had it been done. J.K. Rowling, this is one of the big ones for me. She's, because she speaks freely and speaks her mind in relation to women and her definition of a woman, doesn't have to be everyone's opinion, but she's had it and she's voiced it and she's gone. And they had it like it was a 20-year reunion or something for Harry Potter. Yeah. They had all the stars, all the actors, all the directors, everything, except J.K. Rowling. And I thought you people, would none of you would be there if it wasn't for the great work of J.K. Rowling. 13353, Atia, what do you think is we've lost? What have we lost from culture because of the woke brigade? You don't have to watch it too either, guys. It's not,
well, that's
it's not compulsory, okay? And this is, if I'm going to say my beef about diversity, and there's calls for people to be more understanding of diversity, yet the people calling for it will not allow a diversity of opinion. That's what I like. They demand that you think exactly like them, and if you don't, for any reason, you're cooked. And
saying that about the the Germans and whatnot, there's Hogan's Heroes, but yet there's, if you go to Netflix now, you'll see documentary after documentary on Adolf Hitler. So why isn't that cancelled?
Well, it's historical. Who knows? I don't quite get it, mate. I don't understand the whole culture. Jeff's on the line. Jeff, what have we lost, mate, thanks to the New World Order?
Yes, good morning. Valet Baywatch.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
I love Baywatch.
I remember, I used to be about 14, 15, and, when it come on, once a week you get your Pop-Tarts and your popcorn ready, you turn the lights down and boom. Now you click on OnlyFans and...
Yep, okay.
Jeffrey, kids in cars, mate.
What about grid girls? I mean, I know, I have two friends who were grid girls and they loved the experience. Yep. Now, it just to me, it doesn't have to have grid girls and boys. I don't care. But if people are having fun and it adds some colour and movement, or if you're going to the basketball and then you can have a bit of a play, why the hell not? And another one, okay, this is slightly more controversial, like the, the ring girls in the boxing. Yep. You know what I mean? They really did add.
Well, they're still there. They're still there. But some of them are getting cancelled, and the girls are saying, well, how are we going to earn money?
I know. It's legitimate. Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. Thanks. Michael's on the line. Michael, what's going the way of the dodo?
Hey, guys. Great to hear your voice on the radio together. It's awesome to hear you. You guys may not know this, but my dad was a ex-rugby league referee back in the day, back in Western Sydney, Penrith area, all the way from there to Mount Druitt. He's the organisation organised things throughout the year. One of them was Cracker Night. In reference to Guy Fawkes. They got rid of it, obviously, because fireworks are too dangerous. But I have vivid memories throughout the late 70s and early 80s of going to Cracker Nights.
Cracker Night was a rites of passage. Yes, you could come home with one less finger. But it was just a load of fun and a learning experience, right?
So it was Mickey. It was the best nights ever, and they were controlled. And that's, also from that era, I remember if I did something wrong, my mum would smack me on the bum, okay? And I know this is a little bit, this is kind of a taboo, stature these days, what you talk about, but a smack on the bum with the kids for a
Hang
deterrent.
On. Is that
a bad thing?
You're pro smacking kids?
Oh, I have been. I did.
And not necessarily my own. I'm going to smack any kid. If I walk up to someone in a supermarket and go, come
smack him across the head.
And there you go. We'll take Ben. Ben, what's gone missing for you?
Morning, guys. It's got to be fast food supersizing being cancelled.
Who doesn't supersize.
Love a really big feed occasionally, particularly when you're hungover?
I love it. Good call. Bring back supersizing. And we've been joined live in the studio by a good friend of mine. He's an author. He's, a sports writer. He's a comedian. And we do a podcast together called Sports Bazaar, where he does all the heavy lifting. Please welcome Titus O'Reilly.
Yay.
How are you, Titus? Oh. Yes, you know his work, MG.
I certainly do. I love his hat, his fedora. He's got the glasses. he's got the suit. And he's right up my alley because I love bizarre sports stories too, Titus.
Yes. Well, that's your really the strength of our podcast. And this episode we've just done is John Daly.
Your spirit animal?
My spirit animal. John Daly, which is the highest rating podcast so far. And it's we're only halfway. We've got a second episode.
Two-parter.
Two-parter.
A man that refused to... He literally said, I've never drunk water. I refuse to let it pass my lips. He drank Diet Coke and beer and whiskey. That's
the only water would have been in a watered-down beer somewhere. Tune into the second episode because it goes absolutely bonkers. In the meantime, though, I know Latrell Mitchell and the incident in Canberra, the wrestling, captured your imagination. Are you not impressed by this?
Well, we were talking about this, and we were talking about how nightclubs not great places for sports people, but even this is like, it's pretty low-end stuff if you go historically.
A friendly wrestle. It's horseplay. It's shenanigans.
One of my favourites was the great soccer player Ronaldinho. He played Barcelona, AC Milan. And this shows you the difference in, between when he went back to Brazil to play. He was 41. So we talk about LeBron being 38. He was 41. He decides, I'm going back to Brazil to play. Yeah. And he has put in his contract a stipulation that he's allowed to go out to nightclubs two nights a week.
What, back to back? Can he do two in a row?
It literally said, I'm allowed to go to nightclubs twice a week with no fines or other repercussions.
Oh, that's awesome. I want his agent.
So, Latrell, get on your agent.
Well, that's brilliant. So.
Oh, it's fantastic. But that's not even the best one of these is... This you have to go right back in time, but in 1919 there was this guy called Ray Caldwell. He was a pitcher in baseball, and he was a night owl, Mick, much like yourself.
Yes.
And he was a big drinker, and his talent was his talent was wasted because of this.
Yes,
and so he kept getting, and he was on his last like chance, and the Cleveland Indians rig him. The manager says, "Here's a new contract," and puts it in front of him. Says, "We're willing for you to come to us," and then he says, "Okay." And then he reads it and goes, you've left out a word. It says that I've got to get drunk after every game I pitch. You've left out the word I'm not to get drunk. And the manager said, no, you are to get drunk after every game you play. It's in your contract that you have to. You have to get drunk. And he goes, what do you mean? And he says, the idea is you come, you pitch. You go out that night and you just get written off and do whatever you want.
Oh, my God.
The next day, you've got the day off. Sleep it off.
Yep.
Then come in, you're going to pitch batting practice, pitch the next day, and then we rinse and repeat.
Oh, wow.
He goes on to have his most winning season ever.
There's method in that madness, baby.
I'm going to redo my Triple M contract.
Yes, I bet you
along the following lines.
No, you've got, and the thing about this guy is when he was playing for Cleveland, so he starts, and within like his first game, it's brutally hot, and a storm sort of blows over Cleveland, and he's pitching, and he's got one batter to get out to finish and win the game. And lightning strikes the ground and hits him directly.
Oh, wow.
And he's lying unconscious on the mound with smoke coming off his...
What?
And one of the players goes up to touch him thinking he's dead and gets an electric shock.
Right.
And they say... And I think because he'd had so many benders, he was ready. He says... he finally comes around. They think he's dead. He finally comes around. They go to take him off and he says, I got one more guy to get off. Just point me vaguely in the direction of home plate and I'll win this game. And he did.
That is fantastic. There's far worse antics than that from professional sportsmen over the years.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go to soccer. And one of my favourites is the Italian striker, Mario Balotelli. Now, he played for Inter Milan and AC Milan. In June 2010, him and a group of friends fired air pistols in the open in the central square of Milan.
Well, they just let them off.
Just for fun, thought it would be funny.
Yeah.
In days of... He once said, this is the sort of guy he is.
Yeah.
He said, he never celebrates when he scores a goal.
Okay. And
someone said,
why
don't you celebrate? And he said, when I celebrate, when I score, it's because that's my job. Does the postman, when he delivers a letter, celebrate?
Just doing my job.
So then he's in Italy playing and he gets signed by Manchester City. And with days of being signed, he gets in a car crash in England. And the police find he's carrying £5,000 on him.
Right.
And they say, the police officer says, why have you got such a large sum of cash? And he just replies, because I am rich.
Because I'm rich.
He once then drove into a woman's prison
He drove into a woman's prison.
And when I asked why, this is in Italy, I don't think the security's great, he goes, just to have a look around.
He is off the chain. He's
off the charts. And another time he threw darts at a youth team player during training because it was just a prank. He then set off, him and his mates were having a party, and they set off a firework in his, fireworks in his house. It sets his house and his house burns down. And as a way of making him apologise, Manchester, the city of Manchester, make him their ambassador for firework safety.
That could be UMG. You're like throwing a firecracker either at your brother or into a house or into a letterbox.
He was playing my
real name is Mark Guy Fawkes.
When he was playing for Italy, he was on the bench and people noticed he was just watching iPad. Who knows? I'd hate to think what he was watching. But my favourite is in December 2011, he was on curfew because he'd been so mucking around. Manchester City said, you can't go leave your house for 48 hours before a game except to come into the club. And he broke it by going to a curry house. He said it was reported he was not drinking alcohol, but he'd sign autographs, pose for pictures with fellow diners, and was involved in a mock sword fight using rolling pins.
Oh. I love this guy.
He's just absolutely nuts. He goes to AC Milan and they say, we're going to put in a clause, a good behaviour clause, and they base it on the Italian Air Force requirements for behaviour. He's not allowed to have outrageous clothes. He's not allowed to smoke cigarettes anymore, which is not great for an athlete. No. He's not allowed to drink alcohol. And there's a ban on extravagant haircuts.
That is incredible. And how did he cope with that? He wouldn't have coped
well. Ended up at Liverpool.
Titus, I want to know about, you've done I remember a podcast that, I don't know if you and Mickey did it a couple of months back on the Philadelphia Eagles are in the Super Bowl on Monday. Tell us about this ex-player called Tim Rozovic.
Yeah, so Tim Rozovic, who, if you remember the movie Top Gun, there's Val Kilmer's Iceman has a partner. That's his brother. That's the brother of this guy. And he played for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he was absolutely nuts. So once he's in a team meeting, and he doesn't speak for half an hour, and then someone asks him a question, and he opens his mouth, and a bird flies out.
That is just one of the stories about that great man. You're going to go, before you do, the latest episode of Sports Bazaar has dropped. It's on John Daly, who can match any of the stories you've just heard. Get it where you listen to all your podcasts. And there's a second part that will come out
on Monday.
Thanks for swinging by, Titus.
Come here, Titus.
Nick Malloy at MG in the morning.